The Burt Show.
I'm going to issue a potential mascara alert here. Maybe not for you guys that are listening in your car, but probably for Kristen because she cries over everything.
I am not going to apologize for having emotional depth.
And Cassie would for sure be crying, but she's not here today. She's at a convention. So let's turn it on over to Rebecca because things need to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm. And I will be upset if no one in here cries. I'm going to be looking at all of you.
Okay.
No.
I'll mace myself.
Make me ruin my spray tan.
No. Yeah. I wrote something down. Of course I did because I am just always, I've always been a better writer than I have been a yapper. So if you would just,
press statement.
Yeah, exactly. So I was diagnosed with tongue cancer in October of 2023, which led me down a very difficult and painful battle that included surgery to my tongue, resecting 1/4 of it and reconstructing it with tissue from my arm, surgery on my neck, radiation to my mouth and neck, and chemo. Something I very briefly mentioned before is that when I had my first scan after all that treatment, it did not go well. I had something rare happen, which was an immediate recurrence, and I was wheeled back into surgery for a second neck dissection to hopefully finally be rid of cancer for good, which is why now it looks like someone tried to decapitate me but didn't finish the job. So I have come on air before and I have shared when I've received clear scans, and very, very recently I had another scan. This one felt very big because it was a scan that would put me at more than a year of clear scans if it came back good. So this scan weighed on me a lot. I was very, very scared, and I've honestly felt paralyzed for the last month. The truth is, of course, I've always wanted my scans to be good, but having a new boyfriend put a lot of pressure on me to kind of be alive and healthy. There's sort of an unsaid contract when you're dating someone that you're going to live. Hopefully. And it wasn't just about him. In the last 6 months, I finally felt happy. I hang out with my friends. I can eat and I can speak. I'm not taking my life for granted, and I'm so grateful to see the sunshine every morning because I have learned the terrifying secret that it can all be taken away from you so quickly. So I was so scared that this recent scan would do that. For some reason, I always, always have a scan right before I'm about to go on a massive trip with Abby. And every time I'm like, am I going to get to go? I always would try to picture it in my head. Will I get to go to Greece? I try to picture myself putting my feet in the water. It's like I'm manifesting it. Like, will I be able to put my toes in that blue, blue ass water? So being able to tell you guys right now, and the moment where I got to tell my boyfriend that my scan looked good, it felt like Valentine's Day and Christmas and my birthday all wrapped up into one. There is no evidence of disease in my body once again. My boyfriend did make a sort of relieved noise when I told him that, that I think under any other circumstance would have given me the ick. But that's neither here nor there. I've talked a lot about how grateful I am that I went to Emory Winship Cancer Institute to treat my cancer. But something I haven't talked about is that I've still been in treatment for an entire year. I have been getting immunotherapy infusions for a year because my care team at Winship wanted to give me the best insurance ever that one day in a few years after continued cleared scans, which if you are the praying type, please pray that I continue to receive clear scans. In the next 5 years, I will officially be deemed cancer free. And my last day of treatment of any and all treatments happened on Monday. So I am officially, finally, done with cancer treatment. Wow. Woo!
Yeah! That think we might all cry.
I don't think they saved my life. I know they saved my life. And I'm so happy to be alive and get to be able to do the things I love with you guys, my coworkers who are my friends, who have supported me so much through this entire journey. Now I can just have fun, try to be my healthiest self, which is why I'm asking for you guys and anyone listening to help me help the people that made this possible by joining my team to run or donating to my team for the Emory Winship Cancer Institute 5K. So it's on October 4th. You can run, or you can run with me because I will be physically running there, or you can run virtually. You also don't have to run. That's fine. You can just donate to my team.
This is the most 2025 thing I've ever heard. It's a run where you don't have to run. You don't have to walk. You don't even have to do anything.
No, you can sit on your couch and just give me money. Yeah. If you do donate, I do request that you designate your donation to the Winship Head and Neck Cancer Fund. The link to donate or join has been published on all of the Burt Show social media. It's at theburtshow.com/run. I really want to make a t-shirt, but I don't know what I should make. So if you have any ideas, send me DMs. Something tongue themed, I assume.
So I have so many thoughts and questions really here. And they're going to be a little bit on the random side, okay? First of all, let me say this. I am supremely impressed and respect the way that you have handled this whole thing. Mm-hmm. You have done it with a sense of humor and authenticity and been willing to share your journey, which is a very courageous thing, man. I mean, we do this for a living and it is very difficult, you know, to share the intimate parts of our lives with you guys. In a lot of cases, it's going to be judged online and you wouldn't think it would be, but to be able to share that with the greater good of others that are going through this will hear your journey. And those are the people that really need to hear it. And you've been so willing to do that. And you have handled it with such a great sense of humor. It's, I'm just so supremely impressed with you.
Thank you. That really means a lot. I mean, I've always said, like, having cancer and having had cancer, it's this exclusive club that nobody wants to be a part of. But as soon as I came on and talked about being diagnosed with tongue cancer, I immediately was just enveloped in this community of people who wanted to support me, who had been through the same thing. And if I can give that back to anybody listening, and I get a lot of messages from a lot of people who I want to support and I want to help them through this journey because it's such a terrifying journey. It just means a lot to me that someone could listen to my story and feel hope, because I have gotten that from a lot of people.
Another thing I wanted to say, and I just love you so much, that when you bring up the physical things that are still remaining from this journey, I'll be honest with you, I don't see them. Like, you talked about your tongue one day, and I understand it's your face, it's your tongue, you know what you sounded like. When you were talking just now, and every time that you come on now, I flash back to the first time you came on after the surgery, mm-hmm. and how difficult that was for you, and it was very difficult to understand you. You've gone through all this therapy, and all I see and all I hear is progress. So yes. When you talked about your neck today, I got to be honest with you, I am not lying about this. Now, I am kind of clueless, but that's the first time I ever noticed the scar. Seriously, like, I don't see it. You see it because it's your body. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about your tongue, and when you're talking about going to kiss your boyfriend for the very first time and how you were insecure about it, I totally understood it. I don't see it, man.
And I know that may not mean a lot coming from Mr. Oblivious over here, so I get that. But just to make you feel a little bit better, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Like, you should be very proud of your scars. They are tales of your heroism, mm-hmm. and what you've been through, and would never want to diminish that by saying, I don't see them. So you want to toe this line, because you don't want to dismiss the scars and everything you've been through, but also you don't want that to be the focal point. But I'm like, Bert, like, I just, when you walk into the studio, I see Rebecca.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate that, because I have had such a complicated relationship with being Batty Frankenstein now.
That's a good description.
Yeah. I have learned that, I mean, this is a crash course lesson, that you are way more critical of yourself, your appearance, than other people. Because it is true. People who know me and love me, they only see me. They really don't see my arm scar. They don't see my neck scar. They don't really even remember my tongue a lot of the times, which is like amazing and sometimes awful when my boyfriend tries to make me eat salsa and I'm like, I can't eat that anymore. We've been over this. No, but I really appreciate that. And you know, this is my new normal, but I feel like Rebecca 2.0. And I feel like everything I've been through, all my new body modifications, I honestly think they are a testament of my strength. And I want to sort of celebrate them. And so I feel really good about them now.
But yeah, we are going to be celebrating the heck out of your accomplishment is the wrong word, but just having these clear scans. Like, I can't think of a better place. And I remember us last year kind of going through the same thing of you wondering like, oh my God, Abby, like I might not be able to be in Ireland. And I remember thinking like, no, I feel it in my bones. Like, me and you are going to be dancing on a pub table somewhere. And that's exactly what we did last year. And here we are 1 year later, 1 year you still continuing this fight, and we are getting your toes in that blue ass wall. Yes. And I'm gonna cry when we do.
I'm gonna be on a bus.
Love it. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
What a relief, right?
Thank you.
Hey, The Bird Show.
All right, so yesterday I told you guys I never do this, but I was on my couch and I binged the entire show. I think it was 4 episodes of Biggest Loser, fit for TV on Netflix. And you guys weren't—you didn't watch it back in the day.
I did not watch it. I'm very familiar with the show because, I mean, it was a massive hit on TV. There's a reason why it stuck around for so many seasons. But as far as like actually watching it, I don't have that connection. Would you say this is a documentary or more of like an exposé?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's a documentary.
Uh-huh.
It's exposing the show behind the scenes because there was some serious stuff going on behind the scenes. And we're going to get Dolvet on here in just a couple of seconds. But if I remember correctly, the reason why the thing kind of went away was there were accusations that they were giving some of the contestants like drugs to make them lose weight. And it was all supposed to be natural.
Mm.
And we'll ask Dolvet if those were blown out of proportion or not. But that was kind of like the first one where like everybody's like, oh, man, really? This isn't natural at all. So it kind of went away, but in this documentary, man, they expose a lot of things I told you about yesterday that I want to get him on and talk about, like the contestant that called the producers all excited before she was going to go on the show. She'd already been selected, going, hey, just want to let you guys know I'm working out and I'm eating healthy. And the producers are like, stop doing what you're doing. We need you to be fat. Right? And it kind of just starts there. So the history that I have with Dolvet is years and years and years ago. I'm working out at Gym of Buckhead like I always do, right? Or at least I did back in the day. And I think I know what I'm doing pretty well in there. Dolvet comes up behind me. I don't know him at the time. First time he's ever said anything to me. He goes, you know you don't know what you're doing, right? Very first words to me.
Uh-huh.
So then he became my trainer, and then he became a really, really good friend. And that's where it all started. He moves out to Los Angeles. We've stayed in touch with each other. We don't see each other nearly as much as we should. But as soon as I was watching the show, I texted him like, dude, you need to come on and watch this show. And he hits me back, dude, I haven't even watched it yet. So I was way more excited about it than he was. Hey, Dolvet.
Hey, Bert. I love that intro. What's up, fella?
How you doing, my dude?
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice, man. It's nostalgic right now. I feel like I'm sitting in the studio.
I know. It's like one of these friendships. You know, we were so tight. And then he moves out to Los Angeles and you just kind of like lose that talking to each other all the time. But then when you start to talk to each other again, it's like immediately back.
You pick up right where you left off.
Man, we have had some times together, huh?
Only good friends can do that. When you can have some time pass by and the second you see them, it doesn't feel like any time at all.
Truth.
So that's a good thing, yeah.
Can I share my favorite Dolvet story really quick? And I don't even know if you're going to remember this, Dolvet.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah. All right, so I can't remember what the name of the restaurant was, but it's where Little Alley Steak is now. Maybe it was Asia, if I remember correctly,
could
or something.
Been. Yeah.
But we were there for an event, and they were doing some kind of like batch, like a celebrity bachelor, and auctioning off people for dates to raise money for a charity, right? So we're there, we were sitting there, and in walks Dolvet, because we're all sitting at the same table together. And I mean, Dolvet, this was easily like my first year on the show, so like probably like 14 years ago. Okay. And so you don't walk in, you hobble in because you had busted your foot. But let me tell you, the brace that was This man was wearing a Louis Vuitton foot brace.
He's got the drip on his foot.
And I was just like, this is an impressive man right here.
I remember that. I remember the red carpet. That got more red carpet looks.
Yep.
TMZ stopping me in the airport. it was a funny situation. But I was like, listen, if I'm going to do all this press,
right,
I'm going to do it with style.
Yeah, and you did attract,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And didn't it happen on a trampoline? Like, I never got on a trampoline after that because you busted your ankle on a trampoline?
Yeah, my publicist at the time said, hey, down in Atlanta, they're filming this thing on TBS called Movie and a Makeover. You know, we were watching this show, and then they do these snippets in between. Well, they want to do trends with benefits with you. So they got about 5 or 6 different trending workouts. One of them happened to be in the trampoline house in Atlanta. So living in LA, I flew back home to Atlanta, and then I'm doing this segment bouncing all around. I said to the director, no, I think we got it. He said, oh, let's do one more time. I said, nah, I think we got it. Let's do one more time. And sure enough, I do it one more time. Crack, crack, my entire foot cracks, lands on the trampoline, crack, and then goes the other way and cracks. Broke the calcaneus bone, torn ligaments in 3 places. Took about 11 months to heal.
Yeah, I never got on a trampoline after that.
I don't doubt it.
Uh-uh. All right, my dude, so you're watching this show over the weekend, because I texted you and you said you were just about to sit down and watch it. Did you watch all of them?
All of them, all 3 episodes.
Okay,
the docuseries.
All right, what are your initial impressions before I start hitting you up with some questions?
My initial impressions were, I think some of the things were exposed, and I think other things were just highlighted in terms of how the show went. And everyone has a different experience, right? Whether you're a contestant or a trainer or a person on the couch watching it, you're going to have a different either visceral experience, or you're going to have a very personal one that's like, hey, this is perfect for me. So I took it all kind of ways, because I'm looking at it as the guy who used to be on the couch or the guy who did the show for 7 years.
So I guess the first thing is that I felt like the beginning of the end of the show, which was unfortunate because you were on it at the time, was the rumor that some of the trainers, I don't think that you were named in this, I think it was Jillian mostly, was giving like weight loss drugs to the contestants. In the documentary, they say it was just caffeine pills. Did you know that was going on? And was that even part of the show? Like, could you do that if you wanted to administer like caffeine pills or weight loss drugs? Could you do that?
No, you couldn't do it because the laws of the show were the laws of the show. Yeah, you couldn't assist the contestants in any way, shape, form, or fashion to make sure that they had an upper edge, right? Dr. Izango was very specific when he said no caffeine to the contestants. And Jillian took it on herself to say, forget what you're saying, I'm going to do this. And the show literally shut down, and it had to shut down because they need to do some digging into how do we handle this.
So there was some push and pull there. Jillian wanted to give him the caffeine pills, and the producers and doctor did not want to?
Yeah, it's literally stated in the rules. For every trainer or the context of the show, we cannot do certain things. Everything had to be even ground. For every contestant, there's $250,000 on the line. These people are coming here to change their lives. You know what I mean? This is heavy weight rehab. And so there are no cheat codes or curves or anything that you can do like that. And then, you know, the rules were broken, and that's unfortunate because, you know, I think I was in Chicago doing some press or something, and I got a call from my manager and said, the show's going to shut down for a while. We'll get back to you and let you know. I'm like, why? But I felt bad because, I mean, these are people's lives. These are contestants. These are people who work on set. You know what I mean? The mic guys, the camera guys, and they were out of work.
So she knowingly broke the rules. And I don't even think she really denied that during the documentary.
No, I think what they did was they took the segment that we had to film on camera, and they just showed you again what happened on that episode. I don't know the dialogue that happened behind the scenes between her. That's, you have to speak to her, between her, the producers, creators of the show. That was between them. But what we had to do on camera to sort of say, face to say, this is the reason why this is happening.
One of the contestants said, and I referenced to it before you came on, was that the producers wanted them to put weight on before they came on to the show. You know about that?
100%. Yeah, because it's like, at the end of the day, they felt, listen, if you're going to go on a weight loss competition show, don't start losing weight. Because the minute you get on board with these trainers and we start adjusting the way you're eating and we're getting you moving, you might hit a plateau. You may not be able to compete with someone who's sedentary, someone who's not doing anything. So I don't know if they told them to gain weight. Now, mind you, this was way before I came on, right? I was on towards the tail end of the show. That particular woman I never met, she was in season 2.
Right.
But yeah. One of the rules was, hey, if you really want to compete, come as you are. and then let's work on magic. Let's do what we do best, and the rest is what happened.
We're talking to my dude, Delvette, who used to be a trainer on The Biggest Loser, and now there's a documentary on Netflix about it. One of the most shocking things you'll watch on the show, you guys, if you watch it, is one of the contestants almost died.
While filming the show.
I mean, it's all happening on the show. So she gets there on the beach, and their very first challenge was to run a mile, and she goes way too fast, and she had some medical things she didn't even know about. She damn near died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, and they're showing the whole thing. So was there ever any time, Delvette, where you or the trainers had the opportunity to go to the producers and go, this is just too much? Like, the challenge that you guys are doing for these guys, they are not up for that.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't like they took it into account. Listen, we had a psychiatrist that would come on set weekly. We had Dr. Izenga, who was the medical doctor. He was there weekly. All the staff producers, they took into account our expertise, their expertise, and saying, look, this guy's not ready for this. So the dialogue was always, you know, I think the docuseries portrayed this was so unhealthy. Were there things about it they probably should have did better? The answer is absolutely yes. But overall, the goal wasn't to ignore someone being hurt. That's not what they did.
The documentary really made it look like that there was kind of always this inner struggle between the trainers and the doctor. Yeah. Did you feel that?
I did not, because I like Dr. Izenga. I think between Jillian and Bob, probably mostly Jillian, she always was combative with Dr. Izenga and didn't believe that he knew what he was talking about and or doing. And so they always sort of butt heads all the time.
Part of the problem in the documentary they point out also is like Jillian Michaels has given him this kind of like psychological advice when she doesn't have any credentials, you know?
As a licensed therapist?
Yeah. I remember right before you went to LA and you told all of us that you got this job, and we were all so freaking excited for you, man. I mean, oh my God. First of all, we all knew Delvette was always going to be a star. I mean, there are some people that walk into a room and they got that look and they got that swag, and this was his destiny, right? So this was going to launch it. We were all so excited, and you were so excited to be on that show. Do you remember at any point, or maybe it never happened at all, where you're like, oh God, this is not what I thought it was going to be?
All the time.
Really?
All the time, yeah. I mean, I could tell you times probably off of this where, you know, sometimes it felt like high school. You know, the competition was so high. This trainer said, I'm going to get rid of him this season. He's not going to be here talking about me, right? You know what I mean? And it was just, it was so competitive. And we also have to consider, these are millions and millions of dollars, and big egos, especially here in Hollywood, comes along with that, right? So there were plenty of times of like, this isn't what this is cut out to be. You know, you're on the couch and you guys are the audience. So you have a front row seat. Oh my God, this is great. Look at all the weight. And so to you, you see all the bells and whistles. But when that curtain is down, all the stuff that goes behind the scenes, it isn't fun. It's a lot of work. I actually did more work off camera than I did on camera, driving every day to Calabasas, going to the ranch 7 days a week. Off camera, because I had to do more work. There's more weight on the brain than there is on the body. So I had to help these individuals get past where they were versus where they could be.
So I think you poured a little tea right there. Did you just say that one of the trainers on the show tried to get you fired?
He didn't try to get me. I wouldn't say he tried to get me fired. He can't get me fired. But, you know, he's competitive. You know what I mean? He's competitive. He's like, yo, I don't even know if I like this dude. I don't like him.
We're talking about Bob?
There you go.
Oh, wow. As soon as you came on the set, was it kind of known like, okay, this young gun is not coming for my job?
1,000%.
Wow.
1,000%.
I'm not totally stunned.
You're not?
No.
So I've never seen the show, so I don't know who Bob is. I'm about to Google him.
Yeah.
But what's the deal with Bob? Like, what's...
Well, I mean, I think it goes with anything in Hollywood, entertainment, even anybody's job, you know? You're the one, you're the man, you're the woman, you're established, and then you got this young guy coming in who is as beautiful as Delvette is, who has all this charisma, and now he's on the show also. So I think you're probably a little bit insecure about losing your job, not a little, a lot, and saying, I'm not going to give this guy a chance. Does that sound accurate?
That's 100% accurate.
Delvette, it's totally your fault for having such a dashing smile. Sorry, not sorry. And the voice. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's your parents' fault for making you so good-looking, man. Oh, all right, my dude. Can we make a promise to each other next time you're in Atlanta we can hang out?
I would love that. What do you know? That'd be dope, bro.
On dry land.
Yeah, no pools. We're not going to Lifetime. No pools. All right, my dude. I'll be in touch.
I got floaties. It's all good.
I'll talk to you soon, man.
Take care, guys.
The Bird Show.
As a woman without kids in her childbearing years, there's one thing that women will tell you anytime you ask about the experience of having kids. And it goes something like this. She'll be like, oh, so, you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm kind of waffling. What would you say your experience is with kids? And they'll always do this thing where they go, oh, it's the greatest joy you'll ever feel. The highs are so high. And then like a storm cloud will descend upon them and lightning will flash and they'll go, but the lows are so low.
It's draining, man. It is draining.
Do you remember when we were leaving Jay Gold's salon? Because we were surprising our listener who won her hair makeover. We took her some flowers and a card. And I had Jimmy with me because I just picked him up from school. And, you know, if you know any toddler, any preschooler, post-school kid, they're hanging by a thread, right? Mm. And so we're walking out of the salon, and all of a sudden, Jimmy ran out of energy. He likes to tell me, Mama, I don't have no more energy. I need you to carry me. And I didn't want to carry him because I had been holding him the entire time we were in the salon. And so we're standing outside, and Abby is just hoofing it to her car. She's already across the street, and there is Jimmy on the sidewalk, and I'm standing in front of him trying to get him to move his feet. But alas, he has ran out of energy. And so I'm looking at him, and I'm like, Jimmy. And he's like, I don't have any more energy. And I'm like, Jimmy, come on, let's go. I don't have any more energy. And I literally screamed across the parking lot to Abby, don't do it! And I screamed back, wasn't planning on it! Although it's funny hearing you describe that scene because I remember turning around and looking. I'm like, oh, this is such a cute moment because you at some point like crouch down and look at Jimmy and you're like, okay, come at me. And he like runs at you and he leaps into your arms. And I'm like, oh, it's the meaning of life. And then I went to my car. I'm like, oh, silence is so great. So anyway, Kylie Kelce was talking about this on her podcast, Not Gonna Lie with Kylie Kelce. And she was commiserating with other moms about the one thing she wishes she could have back as a woman raising four children.
I am unbelievably grateful to have my tiny humans. It is a privilege, but I'm gonna get real honest about this. No one tells you this, but when you become a parent, there's many small joys you may have to put on hold. Here's my list of the top 10 things I miss most as a mom. I miss sitting down for extended periods of time. Oh. I don't even know how to dive in further. I feel like that so appropriately sums it up. I don't want to come wipe your butt. I don't want to get up and fill your water bottle. I don't want to see what that noise was. I don't want to. I want to sit my butt in a spot and I want to stay there. Okay.
When you sent this and I watched it, I felt this in the depths of my soul. I mean, when you have a little one, when you listen to what she just said, oh, as a parent, you get it. Because every time you sit down and just as you start to get cozy on the couch thinking, oh, I can rest my bones. Mm-mm. They need something. They need something. I mean, and you are literally getting up every 5 minutes to tend to something.
5 minutes. You're lucky. I remember distinctly telling Amanda over and over and over again over the course of the last couple of months, she's got a almost five-year-old, that the word mom at some point in the day must be so annoying because he says it so much from another room. He's screaming it, mom, 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 mom. If I had a dollar for every time he says mom to her during the day, I could hire somebody to be his mom.
Kristen, I felt this in my bones because she's listing off these things that I love to do. Like I love to sit down. Nothing makes me happier than being horizontal and having no thoughts in my head. I'm just laying there. I'm like, this is glorious. And all the other moms in the comments were commiserating about the things that they miss and wish they could get back now that they have children. A user said, I miss a bed rot day or Netflix binge. So bad, crying face emoji. I miss having girl dinner and not needing to plan 3 full meals a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Someone said, my whole house is sick right now. And as my daughter asked me, how come you're not as sick as us, mom? I am. Mm-hmm. I just can't stop. Someone said, I miss peeing alone.
Ah, that's the one right there. It's when your pees take like 6 minutes.
I kid you not. I went upstairs yesterday and I told Jimmy, I go, Jimmy, mama's got to go upstairs. I got to go potty. As soon as I sat down on the toilet, I hear a yell from downstairs. Mom, I got to go poo-poo. So I had to stop what I was doing
in order to go downstairs and assist my child to use the bathroom before I could go back upstairs and finish my own business.
There is no alone time.
How are you assisting Jimmy with the poo-poo?
Yeah, I have, out of curiosity. I have to wipe his butt when he's done.
They really need to make baby bidets.
Oh.
Just a light stream. Yeah. Doesn't have to be as hard because that, you know, they get the soft tush going on.
And sometimes, Abby, sometimes he wants me to watch him. Sometimes he doesn't want me to watch him. So sometimes I have to stand in the doorway because he says, I need to talk about my day. Literally says this. I need to talk about my day. So I will stand in the doorway and let him talk about his day. And then other times he will look at me and I'm like, he'll be like, Mama, don't look at me. Go away. And then I go away until he's ready to get off the toilet. And then I got to wipe his butt.
This is really wholesome stuff. And I'm glad I'm hearing about all the things that I'm missing out on. Because yeah. Clearly,
no, you're not.
I'm having FOMO so bad right now.
No, you are not.
And that little boy drops deuces like a grown man.
What's that?
That little boy drops deuces like a grown man.
Ace is the same way. Yeah. Sometimes I look in that toilet, I'm like,
Is
Amanda cheating on me with a 300-pound man?
I'm going to buy you guys both diaries for Christmas.
But Asa eats very differently than you do, than Jimmy does. Because he eats like quinoa, broccoli, all the healthy stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I can understand his. Jimmy's like all about the nugs, right?
Well, no, but also Bart, I mean, he's got the healthy peanut butter. He has the healthy yogurt. Like, he eats other healthy things. Bart puts chia seeds hemp hearts in his freaking yogurt. I don't know what that man's doing. Trust me. He's functioning very well.
There are times where I'll look in that toilet and go, did I leave that? And then I'm all embarrassed. And it was Asa.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, Rebecca, let's start this now. And then maybe we'll finish it at the end of the show because you got questions.
Yes, I do. So I ask very little of my boyfriend. All he has to do to keep me happy is laugh at everything I say, cook every single meal, and be completely obsessed with me. And I don't think that's too much to ask for. Luckily, my boyfriend knows his role. But today I want to test the boyfriends of The Burt Show. Mm-hmm. And that is Burt and Messy Mikey. We're going to find out if you truly deserve your beautiful, accomplished, intelligent brunette girlfriends, or if they deserve better with a game of bare minimum versus princess treatments.
Can we already answer that they deserve more without even knowing any of the questions? Mikey's probably way better than I.
Yeah, for sure.
No, you're not.
And also, there's no way this isn't a trap. This is going to be trouble one way or the other.
Perhaps it was a hypothetical question. Okay, so here's how the game works. Okay. I have asked my heterosexual homies, a.k.a. the straight ladies of The Burt Show, to send me examples of bare minimum things they expect from their romantic partners versus princess treatment things that are appreciated but not expected. And then I threw their examples away because I didn't like them. I may be much more high maintenance than I seem, but I have an example for you guys. My boyfriend saying goodnight to me every night. What do you think? Is that bare minimum or princess treatment?
Let the guys answer.
It's princess treatment.
Bare minimum.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. I've never said goodbye to anybody or goodnight or nothing.
Every night, right before I go to sleep, we say goodnight to each other.
What? You can just fall asleep on a dime?
I mean, I can feel it fading. It's not like I'm one of those guys. What is that? That disease where you just fall asleep?
Narcolepsy?
Yeah, okay. I already get that
Narcolepto.
One.
Narcolepto.
And the other one where you're like doing unspeakable things to dead people can feel.
That's necrophilia.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Two very, very different things. All right. So as you're laying in bed with your girlfriend, before, like, you don't like when you get in the bed, you don't like kiss each other and just do like a good night.
She puts her headphones on, start reading. I watch something terrible on the TV and I crank it to 100 and then I fall asleep and I hide the remote.
There's no good night. There's no good night, baby. Absolute bare minimum.
I don't know where you think your girlfriend is right now, but I can guarantee you she is in the trenches.
Yes, that is bare minimum. So you are wrong, Mikey.
Okay.
Here is an example of princess treatment. My boyfriend paying for my nail appointment. That would count as princess
100%.
Treatment.
I totally and completely agree on that.
So okay. I have a list of examples. I have 10 for each of you. We're running out of time, but I want to see if you guys can recognize what is bare minimum and what is princess treatment. If you get it wrong, I'm going to spray you in the face like a dog with a spray bottle.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's break here for a second. We're only going to pay bills till you guys, like, we have to do this legally. And then in 30 seconds, we come back and we'll continue it.
Sounds perfect.
Get it. The Burt Show.
right, so we'll continue this. Rebecca's playing a game with us called Bare Minimum or Princess Treatment. And the first question, I'm actually shocked by. Her first question was, is saying goodnight to your significant other, your boyfriend or girlfriend, is that bare minimum or princess treatment? I said, bare minimum. Of course you have to say. Mikey's like, no, not at all. Well, so let me just double down on that. So how about good morning?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, a kiss before you walk out the door, that's a requirement. But maybe I mentioned goodnight, maybe I don't.
Absolutely. That's a prerequisite before you go to sleep.
Maybe we have a different bedtime routine, Bert. Ever thought of that?
Still wait. You can still say goodbye. Good night.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe not all boyfriends are created equal, and we're going to find out just how good of boyfriends you both are, right? Because I want you guys to tell me whether these examples of things you can do for your lady, are they bare minimum or are they princess treatment?
Okay.
I have 10 examples for each of you. Bert, you're up first. And Kristen, I'm going to have you read the examples so I can get into spraying position, because every time you get it wrong, I'm going to spray you with this water bottle that I reserve for my dog at home.
Can you spray from neck down and have a good hair day?
Yeah. There you go. I'm getting into position.
All right, Bert, bare minimum or princess treatment?
Uh-huh. Okay. I gotta turn it on. Hold on, sorry.
Oh, you got it.
Okay,
the sprayer's good to go.
Yeah, good, yeah.
All right, bare minimum or princess treatment?
Yeah. You just squirted me. I didn't say anything.
She knows what you're all about.
Are you premature squirting over there?
Oh, my premature. God.
That happens to everybody.
All right. No, it doesn't. All right, here we go. Premature. Oh, sorry. Bare minimum or princess treatment?
Okay.
Opening the door for her.
Bare minimum.
That is correct.
Bare minimum.
Agreed.
Bare
100% agreed. But I'm getting sick of it.
All right, are we just...
What do you mean? Sick
are
of
we
it.
Gonna alternate between the two of them, or you want me to go like all the way down Bert?
I'm just
gonna
go down Bert.
All right.
She will let me know like the times that I don't open the door for her. I mean, she'll at some sometimes
she's
just
clocking them.
I've 1,000% done that before. All right, Bert. Writing love letters.
Absolute bare minimum.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Without saying, I'll say that she just got one 48 hours ago.
Wow. Yep.
Read it.
Nope. All right, bare minimum or princess treatment?
Wait. Did you answer that one, Mikey?
No, I think it's all you.
These are all special for you. He's got his own.
You're in the wet seat.
Okay.
Giving her unlimited getting ready time.
Princess treatment.
Oh, my God.
Oh, whoa. Three times.
Nice.
What? We got places to be, man.
That is bare minimum.
I mean, why are you doing mist instead of just direct shot?
Should I turn it on like the jet spray?
Yes. And I thought it'd be one. You sprayed me five times, woman.
Put some water pressure on that thing.
God.
Bare minimum or princess treatment?
Yeah.
Carrying her when her feet hurt.
Carrying her?
Mm-hmm. Like giving her a piggyback or like a fireman's carry or carry her feet hurt.
Princess treatment.
What?
Sprayed.
That is bare minimum.
What?
Why do you go to the gym? You're jacked. You can carry her.
Why do you go to the gym? All right.
Not bare minimum.
No. Bare minimum or princess treatment? Knowing her favorite fast food order by heart.
Bare minimum.
Yeah. Whoa. I saw the fear flash in his eyes.
I did, because we don't eat fast food. Mm-hmm. So I...
You can insert coffee order here.
Easy. She drinks black coffee. Here. I got it.
Yeah. All right. Next. Bare minimum princess treatment. Letting her audit. Jeez. It's like your...
Audit?
Letting her audit your Instagram follows.
Oh, bare minimum. I got no problem there.
Okay.
Oh, princess treatment.
Oh, yes.
I got sprayed again. Yeah. That's princess treatment?
Yeah.
That one's over the top. Explain. Explain.
That's princess treatment. That's a little extra. That's not something that every girl is going to expect.
Yeah, I beg to differ.
All right. Paying for her hair appointments. Paying for her hair appointments.
I mean, she's an independent woman that's making her own money. Princess treatment.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
All right, good.
The flinch.
I was ready. You guys want to comment on that one?
Yeah, I think it's very expensive to get your hair done. That to me is going above and beyond. Yeah,
that's definitely princess treatment. Killing bugs in the house.
That is bare minimum.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Letting her win her favorite games.
That,
what?
No, is princess treatment.
Yes! Okay. What?
I was ready to get sprayed on that one.
That is the bare minimum. It costs you nothing. It's free. It's easy. I get to keep my pride.
No, we are competing for alpha dog status. There's a lot on the line.
All right, last one for you, Bert Weiss, who is sopping wet over there. Bare minimum or princess treatment? Buying flowers just because.
Oh, bare minimum.
Yay!
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got it in the neck. You want to explain?
That's fine for being a man.
No, man, if I'm like at Target or I'm at a grocery store or whatever, yeah, and it's the first thing that's there, I'm like, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
All right. You did good. You're not.
Did I? Because I feel like Jack on the Titanic. I just fell off the door.
Mikey's going to leave here drenched. All right, Messy Mikey, you ready, sir, to play bare minimum or princess treatment?
I'm ready.
Why are you flinching so bad?
Because she's holding it right to my temple.
All right. Remembering her birthday.
Oh, it took me a couple years, but it is bare minimum.
Ah, good job, sir. Yeah. Good job. Random breakfast in bed.
I don't cook. Princess treatment.
Oh, he got it.
Damn.
He got it in the neck.
I get the breakfast and bread. I'm the princess.
Your breakfast in bed is just a handful of goldfish.
Yeah, they're from the night before.
All right. Princess treatment.
Look at her arm. Like she's really shooting a gun. Like she's ready for it to cock.
All right. Bare minimum or princess treatment, Messy Mikey. Staying up until she texts you she's back home.
What?
Staying up to receive the
text. No, I don't need it repeated, but... I'm just confused about the question. It's not the bare minimum. She went out without me. Princess treatment.
No!
I see how I could be wrong about that, but there's an argument to be had.
Okay, let's make it.
We don't have enough time,
man. We do.
Why'd she go out without me? Where was she? It's a girl's night. She can make it home, though.
You know what? Just squirt him again. What do you mean, why'd she go out without me?
All right. Bare minimum or princess treatment? Paying for her parking ticket.
Her parking ticket? Why'd you park in the wrong spot? That's, what do you call it? Princess treatment.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Was I flinching the same way you were?
No, it was worse. Your shoulders were up to your ears.
All right. Tying her shoes for her.
I'm the worst shoe tire ever. That's princess treatment.
Oh, there, got it right in the neck again.
Why is it in the neck?
Okay, why is that bare minimum? Why are we tying shoes?
Yeah,
I think it's nice.
No, I would feel so infantilized.
I think I'm just really bad at tying my shoes.
Me
sometimes
too.
My boyfriend will do it because he's faster at it than I am.
I had Velcro to like fifth grade. You can't trust me to do something like that.
Wait, can we do one spray in his face?
Hold on 1 second before we get to the next one. What's that word you just used? Because I don't know it.
Infantilized?
Yeah, what is
like
that?
Like you feel you're making me feel like a small child. I feel like fetishized almost.
Okay.
Ooh. All right, next. Bare minimum or princess treatment. The flinching in the studio right now is like out of control. Wearing matching outfits when she makes the request.
What?
Wearing matching outfits like when she makes the request.
Halloween, maybe going to Disney together. I'm with Stupid.
Okay, those are fine. Is there a middle answer here? Because no. It's
either bare minimum or princess treatment.
It's princess treatment.
And in the face.
Three in the armpit.
I'll do it, but I don't want to, and I'll do it for her, but I'm not going to do it all the time. We'd be wearing the same thing every day.
So hold on, Rebecca. You're suggesting that is bare minimum?
Yes, of course. If you're going out somewhere nice and you want
somewhere
to look
nice? What are you going to wear matching outfits somewhere? You mean like I get in the tuxedo, she gets in a tuxedo?
It's about color stories.
Thank you. Color coordination. Bart does this every time before we leave the house. He's is this outfit okay? Does it go with the aesthetic?
You could have been more specific about that. I didn't know it's like my tie has to match her shoes. I thought you meant like wearing these blue silk PJs. She's in those blue silk PJs.
You know what? In solidarity with Mike, squirt me.
Get him.
I'm just glad Mikey's getting bathed for once.
He needed it.
All right, here we go. You just had a couple more, Mikey. You're almost out. Taking as many photos as she wants of her. She needs the perfect photo to post on the gram, and she needs you to take a ton of photos.
Bare minimum.
Thank you, sir.
Nice. Bare minimum. I know the rules. I know the rules.
You know what? Just let me give public props for a second. Thank you, Amanda, for not making me do that every 30 seconds. I see influencers out there doing that, and it's maddening. It's maddening.
Well, I've gotten really good at taking pictures of her with her friends. You don't stop clicking that button. You just click that button until your phone breaks.
All right. Here we go. Last three. Telling her you would still love her if she asked what you would do if she turned into a worm.
Oh. Yes, yes, that's bare minimum.
Okay.
Of course it is. I'm not trying to get broken up with.
You're almost out of the gauntlet. Two more.
Hit me.
Bare minimum or princess treatment. No strings attached massage after a very stressful day.
What? No strings attached. Sometimes my string does things that I don't even have control of.
The strings are invisible.
No, they are not.
How long? How about can I get a time here?
It's no strings attached. It's as long as she wants.
Yeah, as long as she needs to feel loose, but you're not getting anything.
But that's me doing something nice to her, so that's princess treatment.
Oh, right in the neck.
I don't understand the game, because it's not something I have to do, but I'll do it because it'll make her happy. This game is flawed, guys. Hit me with the last one.
Bare minimum of princess treatment for your girlfriend.
What you got?
Fixing her plate for her at a restaurant.
What restaurant am I going? Golden Corral?
Yes.
You're at Golden Corral.
And Cece's Pizza Buffet.
What do you mean fixing a plate?
Yeah, I know. Where are we going? A buffet?
Rebecca, what do you mean by fixing a plate?
If you get an appetizer and then they serve you the appetizer on the plate.
Man, I'll make this argument. It is. You got a couple across from you. That is a tough thing to watch. I'm not watching that, and I'm not making anyone else sit through that. So that's princess treatment.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh my God. Hey.
The way we were flinching was like legitimately we thought we had a 45 in our head.
This is The Bert Show.